Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello, I'm Ken Rundle, and joining me for this podcast is Mark Tucker, Yara's head of agronomy. It's nitrogen management and efficiency we're highlighting this time as farmers and agronomists look to seasons ahead and plan their fertiliser strategy for wheat or oilseed rape crops, and in particular, second applications. As ever, Mark, strategies need to react to an increasingly volatile environment. So I suppose in this case, I'm thinking of the weather, the markets and pests, but I'm not sure where to start. So let's consider markets. Cereal futures look reasonable, but fertilizer prices are definitely lower than last season. Press talk suggests the late buying grassland guys could benefit most from that. But what's your take?
Yeah, Ken, you're absolutely right. The markets, and when we think about the markets, how they are at the moment compared to this time last year, then we're almost in that exact opposite scenario where, you know, this time last year we were faced with the scenario of the arable farmer who had bought or had in his shed fertilizer that was at a reasonable value and was then faced with buying some top-ups at more, the very expensive values that we saw then. But at the same time, the dairy farmer, the livestock farmer, was actually faced with looking at buying all of his fertilizer at the high prices. 12 months later, then we're in that position where the arable farmer has locked in to quite a percentage of his volume at the higher prices, and we've seen the drop in the market really since just before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So the arable farmer will be faced with maybe topping up fertilizer purchasing now just to finish crops off as the season progresses, but that will be at a considerably lower value than the previous purchase. And then you've got the livestock farmer who's now buying, and he's going to benefit from the drop in the fertilizer market. So a real turnaround. I think it's critical, and we've said it in the past, that farmers sort of think about the numbers here in terms of what percentage have you purchased at the higher prices versus lower prices? How does that affect your overall value for the nitrogen particularly that you've bought? And then you can start playing with that number in terms of how the economic optimum looks. And again, I'd point farmers and advisors to the website where we've got the calculators there, where you can put that market values in, whether it's the crop price that you're either looking at or have sold at. If you've sold forward, put your average nitrogen price in there, and that will then come out with the optimum. And you can just have a look to see how that impacts the calculation.
But it is going to be important to make the maximum use of the available stocks, nitrogen stocks available, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's really, I mean, again, it's that focus on efficiency. So getting as much out of that, either the expensive fertilizer to get to really drive that hard for you, or again, to make use of the drop in value now to drive profitability at the farm gate. So I think it is, yeah, all of it points to really clever, fine-tuned decision makings and being smart with it. So that we really do optimize the return. I think if we look at the numbers, then at the moment, I'd say an optimum rate for the wheat crop is, you know, if you wanted something to plan towards, then it's around that 200 kilograms of N a hectare mark. If you are buying everything late as a wheat farmer and you're now faced with that scenario, if you're in that fortunate position, then that moves up to nearer the classic 220 that we talked about in the past.
A lot of factors come into this. I mentioned weather in my introduction because it's clear that some parts of the UK, especially in the east, have been very dry, and that can have real implications for nutrient efficiency, can't it?
Yeah, I was out yesterday actually just looking at some crops locally here in South Lincolnshire, and I think that again it highlights the need just to be out there in the field and look at where the crop is. For us here in South Lincolnshire, then it is now at T0. So the year is at 1 centimetre, so growth stage 30 has just arrived. So that's an important timing for farmers to have in their sort of calendar activity. But that will vary, you know, as we go up the country, then that won't probably be quite there yet. If we move further south, then crops may even be slightly more advanced than that. So getting out there and just noting where that growth stage is, because that then really does trigger the timings of some of those key applications going forward.
And dry soils do have a direct relevance on the use of nitrogen and the release of nitrogen.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen the last 2 years how we get these almost extremes, but it comes through then in trials data in terms of how we should manage when we're confronted with a very dry sort of period. And that's something to note. I mean, if the dry spring, I mean, we had one of the driest Februarys on record. We've been surprised how wet the fields have got the last couple of weeks with where we've had the snow and the rains come, fortunately, to get some moisture back in the system. But nonetheless, we are generally behind on rainfall. So if we do sort of move towards a very dry period again in March and or through March, rest of March and into April, then that will need to be thought through with these second applications. Particularly there, I'm thinking if we go back 2 years, then the right thing to do was put roughly 50% of your nitrogen on with that middle dressing, that second dressing. Whereas you go back and look at 2022 data, and it was more appropriate to put around 20-25% on with that middle dressing. And then just hold back in terms of to see how the prevailing conditions come through for the third dressing. So I think, yeah, be smart, really focus on the rate, but the rate that's appropriate at that sort of moment in time. So be prepared to change plans if things are still, you know, if they are dry. If everything's running well and the moisture's there, the crop's growing, then you would carry on with your sort of more normal approach, which would be that sort of 80 to 100 kilograms, probably second dressing.
There have been concerns about urea-based fertilizers and ammonia loss with dry soils. Any comments on that?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, there was a lot of, and rightly, there was a lot of nitrogen went on, you know, to take the opportunity of the conditions. The field conditions were good, traveling. So a lot of fertilizer went on second half of February there. Which was absolutely the right thing to do to get nitrogen into those crops to start that spring momentum. Soil temperatures were high, so the crop was going to respond, and it has responded to that first dressing. The one thing that was noted, though, that the applications went on and we were left with dry days following applications, which was good in the sense of, you know, the we didn't end up suddenly with waterlogged fields or anything, but a dry period post applications of urea is a problem in the sense you get a lot of ammonia loss. And when we think numbers, then if we compare to if you've stuck with ammonium nitrate, then the losses you'll get with that will be in the realms of 2-3% from the application. If we were looking, if you had moved and switched across to urea, then your percentage losses then are nearer to sort of 20, even 25, 26%. So it's just worth noting that there could well have been some nitrogen lost of that magnitude with that first dressing. That, of course, won't show up immediately, but it will show up as the season progresses if your crop starts to run short. So it's just a case, again, of noting it and then reacting to it. If technology that you use, you know, we've got all of the technology out there to now adopt and use, and that can help point to whether there is any nitrogen deficiency coming through because losses have been higher than perhaps anticipated.
And that technology in terms of monitoring and testing, end tester, etc.
Yeah, exactly. We've got, there's the AtFarm platform there, freely available for farmers again this year to use. That comes with the end tester. So the registration page is open now for that. So anyone who hasn't got their name in the hat, then that's now's the time to do that. But that that technology, whether it's looking through satellite imagery or through the non-destructive end tester measurements, that usually picks up those issues 2-3 weeks before we would see them visibly with a naked eye as such. So again, it's making use of that technology to alert us to anything that's happening in the crop that perhaps is unexpected or unseen by way of a visible symptom. Of course, we can as well send samples off to the laboratory. That's still there. It takes a bit longer, obviously, to get a result back. But again, as we go into the months of April, when crops are growing really well, then that's the time, again, to just do some analysis there with the crop and just see if there's any nutrients sort of missing in the program which aren't coming through from the soil supply.
Well, we've concentrated so far on cereals, but what about oilseed rape? Are the messages similar?
Yeah, I mean, and again, sort of traveling on the train recently and about going further north, and we've got a real sort of mixed bag out there of the oilseed crop, from those that looked fantastic pre-Christmas and have really gone backwards following sort of flea beetle and weevil activity, which has come into play. So those crops are now in that position of needing a lot of tender loving care to nurture them through. Whereas as you travel north, then that disappears and you see some really nice looking crops of oilseed out there, which, you know, with the value of the crop, the yield potential, then again, they need good care and attention just to optimize production. Whereas, so I think, you know, there's two scenarios there, keeping an eye on that crop, seeing how it's doing. What I would say is something that we need to be careful of is that if the crop potential doesn't look to be there, that shouldn't be a trigger to stop investing in it. You know, those crops, whether they're good or bad at this stage, have all had a similar investment by way of cultivation, seed investment that you've made into the crop. So we still want to push for every sort of small amount of yield advantage we can, just to, again, dilute some of the costs that have gone into the crop so far by way of per tonne. So a 0.27 tonne a hectare response that we get from our micronutrients at this time of year, the Brassitrel Pro, the Yara Vita Brassitrel Pro product there, that goes on now. And that 0.27 tonnes a hectare is the same value, whether it's a 2 tonne a hectare crop or a 5 tonne a hectare crop. So don't abandon the crop purely because the potential perhaps has gone. You know, the other way to look at it is to nurture it through now and really just to get every sort of crop and leaf working for us to get what yield we can out of it.
Yeah, get the leaf back on the crop and so it can start moving at least when weather does improve.
Yeah.
That difference up and down the country, I mean, that's really clearly showing something. We've obviously had that with virus diseases and everything else from seed potatoes, daffodils even, and this year is oilseed rape in particular. On the other hand, climate change means that the insects are moving a lot more freely these days. So how much of a difference is it you're noticing?
I mean, it's quite stark, the difference in terms of how, you know, and the northern growers really benefiting from the lack of pressure. I mean, there's some talk that, you know, that they are moving north with the sort of pressure in terms of that insect. So, you know, just got to watch for it because it can really come in and bite you if you're not careful. So, but I think there is that distinct advantage geographically being seen there, out there.
You're not a fortune teller, Mark, but what are your thoughts about this season? What the sources indicating about prices, for example, or even supplies?
I mean, I think in terms of supplies of fertilizer, I think there's, you know, good supplies through there into the marketplace. So I think supplies are okay. I mean, it's like anything, if farmers delay ordering, which, you know, we are seeing a very at times quiet ordering pattern because of that volatility out there, but I think then logistics come into play more in terms of physically moving a product from factory to farm, which takes time. And, you know, as March marches on, then more logistics and planning and coordinating that becomes the supply issue rather than the availability of the fertilizer itself. So in terms of that, then supply is okay. I mean, we seem to have now stabilized in terms of a nitrogen or fertilizer pricing with sort of European gas, et cetera. So pretty stable position now on the pricing with the falls that we've seen. The crops out there still, you know, they're still holding up well in the value. They sort of, it changes a bit weekly, but I think generally still pretty strong. So the economics with the lowering of the fertilizer price, the holding up of the crop price and the milk price stands, you know, farmers in good stead in that sense.
And with the news from Ukraine, for example, unfortunately, it doesn't look as though there's going to be much more going onto the market from that neck of the woods.
No, I mean, that volatility and again, who knows, you know, two unpredictable areas and sort of geopolitics and weather, both of which have such a big sort of impact on either input prices or output value. So again, it's just being very sort of critical with yourself in terms of decision making at the time and not dwelling too much in terms of whether you're going to be right or wrong, But whether for you, you know, you can see a margin, you can see a profitability from the decision that you've made and be comfortable with that and then move on to the sort of next set of decisions, because the volatility is so high that I don't think any of us dare predict what's going to happen. But just making good decisions, informed decisions on the information data that you've got is really the only way, I think, to sort of manage through it.
Deal with the things you can influence and don't worry about the ones you can't.
Exactly right, yeah.
So let's go back over a discussion, Mark. What have been the key messages as far as you're concerned?
I think that as we sort of head towards second applications, then it is right to try and keep the momentum of the crop going. So that's a sort of key one. So now be ready for that second application. Just be flexible with the rate that you might choose. Either use the technology, so the N-tester can be used to drive that second application recommendation rate. Or if you're not using that, then just think about if growing conditions are good, then you sort of keep that rate sort of high up to sort of 80 kilograms. If conditions are really dry and things not looking so good, then bring it back and then hold off that investment as until the third application, when you might see sort of sunshine and rainfall coming. Secondly, then I think nurture the crops, whether good or bad. You know, now is the time to think about the investment that you're making in each of those crops on merit rather than an emotional response to a crop that perhaps has gone backwards since Christmas. So the value of the yield increase is the same, whether it's a high yielding crop or a low yielding crop. And then finally, I think make use of the technology that's out there. We've said it before and we'll keep saying it. We've got freely available technology from the AppFarm platform, N-tester BT. So make use of that technology. And remember that, you know, that sort of technology brings typically 7% more crop from 12% less nitrogen. So there's some key numbers there to think about to encourage you to adopt some of that technology that's freely available out there. Just a case of logging on, registering with the platform, and then starting to experiment and explore what it can bring to the farm.
Interesting figures there. Mark Tucker, Head of Agronomy for Yara, thanks very much indeed. And let's hope the season plays ball and doesn't give us too many unpleasant surprises. Next time, I'll be discussing grassland fertility, so join me, Ken Rundle, for that in a couple of weeks' time. Speak to you then.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.